If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fans.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not... No, that's not...
Wait.
Yeah,
that's true. You do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little dirt, lizard, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs on the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better mode in. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Just like a large, so many more. 10 in the more, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the more, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Kids can be you can watch on YouTube for Twitch. Twitch. This one time for the Twitch. Aye. This one time for the text. Aye. This one time for the phone line. Whole time, wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Oh man, moaning everybody.
What's up?
How are you, Leroy?
I watched surprisingly a lot more football. And had a lot more interest in some of these games than I previously would admit to.
I think you miss sports.
It wasn't that. It was, there was a few guys that, when they got into games, piqued my interest.
Okay. I'm with you. I mean, like, I feel like preseason.
Think about this. J.J. McCarthy, Shedeur Sanders.
Yep.
I wanted to see what Zach Wilson would do.
Oof.
I wanted to see what Jackson Dart would do.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of guys who you had heard, oh, this guy's this, this, or this. And not that it's going to be an indication of what their careers are going to be, but there's a lot of talented guys, guys that, and I'll just put it this way, pick up on certain aspects of the position quicker than I've seen in the past.
Do you think that's what they're teaching young? Is it because quarterbacks are a little bit older? What do you think it is?
No, I think it's we fall in love with the wrong qualities of a quarterback. For example, Anthony Richardson. You ain't fall in love with his quarterbacking skill. You fell in love with his physique, with his size, his arm strength. But position. When you look at all these other guys, they get caught up. What did I do?
You froze up, and we didn't know if you were making a real pointed point on Anthony Richardson for a second, or if you just froze on us. So you were making your point on Anthony Richardson. Then you were like, I don't know if it's just. And then it kind of felt like you were gathering yourself for some deep thought.
I was wide open.
It froze, and his head was just showing. It looked like a milk dud just trying to talk. Like right now.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. We're having some weird connection things with StreamYard today. That's awesome. Anyway, welcome on in, everybody. It is FM 104.3 WQAM here on the program as we got to get to our headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Doral VW just broke the rules of gravity. Prices are falling so fast, we're checking for a crater. Volkswagen, priced like they lost their minds. Doral VW, buckle up. No one sells for less. No one. So the Dolphins played to a 24-24 tie in their preseason opener. Very eventful game. Tua did play. He gave us an opening drive that went 15 plays and then... You know, to much to the chagrin of everybody, they tried to punch it into the end zone, and well, that didn't go well for the starting offense.
And here's what I would say: in years past, it was never even acknowledged, but Mike McDaniel made a point of acknowledging that we have to be better in these areas.
I'm glad it took this long,
but. One of the things I look for to determine how they've progressed, and let me pick a good team that does it well. The Philadelphia Eagles are really good up front on offensive line. if you watch any of their games, no matter who's playing, when the ball snapped, the line of scrimmage is 2 yards down the field. Right? They have a mentality of how they approach the run game as far as we're going downhill. Now, a running back may bounce it, right? But it's easier to start inside, right? And have everybody coming inside and then use your speed to get out versus just running outside. And they started, dude, what was my first text of the day?
Hold on.
But you know how much I've been talking about this.
First text.
Oh, let me guess. It has to be a running play, and they ran outside instead of
Yeah, it was Leroy Horde texts at 1:11 p.m. on Sunday. First play of the preseason, a sideways run. Jeez. And then I go, right? LOL. And then they did it 2 plays later. And I said, and again for 2 yards. And then Leroy just goes, WTF.
So,
four,
but as the game went on, they started being more and more direct.
Yeah, it was really the only drive. That was the only time they got stunted was truly in that that opening drive. I mean, they did they did seem to get it together on other drives.
Let's be clear. These guys on defense have become bigger and faster. And what they're doing is they're using smaller guys in the middle to play linebacker so they can cover tight ends so that they can be able to run with tight ends. And the way to combat that is you run right at them. You have no speed running straight ahead, right? And the fact that you're running sideways allows them to use their strengths. And so when they started going forward and they started kind of off tackle with cuts back in or bounces outside, you still get to use your speed, but the direction or the angle of attack has the defense approaching it a lot different. They're just not running. When you run a play and you see that drill with the linebackers going back and forth on the over the dummies, going back and forth trying to read a hole, and then the coach says forward and they shoot through a gap. That's kind of how they play. But if you're going sideways, you've eliminated half of the football field to run. If you run straight ahead, it forces them to do that kind of read. Where is he going? Where is he going? Where is he going? And now you can use your speed to explode. So I'm not saying that every play has to go inside. But what I'm saying is this. The direction of where you are giving the defense an indication of where you're going to run has to start at a certain position to keep the defense honest.
Well, I mean, I think the one thing that was encouraging by the end of yesterday's game was, you know, Ollie Gordon does look like a guy who can go downhill very, very strongly.
Yes.
He's a
Wait,
moose.
And let me tell you this. By that goal line, I don't give a damn who's the running back. Way too much penetration. Way too much. That was the indication. Soon as I saw that and saw them in the backfield the way they were, that's the biggest indication of soft. If they pushing you back, if they pushing you back in the area of the football field, 3rd and 1, 1st and 10 inside the 5, where you know it's going to be a run and you got a man up, and they shoving you back, that's a sign of softness. Sorry. It is.
We'll get more into it. The Marlins, they dropped 4 out of 5 this weekend to the Braves. Oof.
Yikes. Wasn't even close.
Not great. Well, some of them were close. They just blew them. Yesterday wasn't close, but some of them, they had leads, and they just yacked them up.
The Thursday well,
yeah, but
was
their
bad.
Leads were
Thursday, like, and I believe
one,
they – I think 6-2 they,
it wasn't Thursday. Substantial.
6-2 was Thursday.
6-2 is not nothing, though. Like, it's a 4-run lead. That's a
six.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad – that's a pretty bad yak up. I mean, it ain't the, you know, the Mets are lost 7 in a row. It's the only thing that's maybe not torpedoed the Marlins, because the Mets gave up, I think, a 5-0 lead yesterday.
Listen, both New York teams – Baseball stinks.
Hard times right now.
Hard times.
I saw paper bags for Aaron Boone.
Boone the buffoon.
He got kicked out again. So that's it. Cal Rowley, though, did hit his 45th home run of the season.
For a catcher.
Yep. Ties Johnny Bench for second most ever by a catcher.
Hey, he literally looks like a dude that right after the game, he going to have a Miller Lite, sit down and have some chips.
Yep. He's awesome. And then we got some big news this morning. Dana White announced that the UFC's new home for 2026 is going to be CBS and Paramount, and there will be no more pay-per-views. No more pay-per-views for UFC.
No, I thought he said they were going to do pay-per-views through Paramount.
I mean, you're going to have to like subscribe to Paramount Plus, I would guess, but no, there's no more pay-per-views.
I'm going to be honest with you. This has the feeling of DAZN.
I would understand why you would say
Paramount,
that.
Because Paramount, if they paying a boatload of money,
they're
going to have a little pay window to get access to it.
Maybe. I mean, maybe they'll have like another tier that's possible. Like so, if you don't have like the ad-free one, I'm sure that's going to be some element to it. But nah, they put it right. He put it right in the statement. He said that pay-per-views are going away.
Let me ask you this. Wasn't pay-per-views on ESPN, ESPN Plus for UFC?
Yes.
And then now they're going to Paramount and CBS.
Yes.
And UFC's not, and ESPN's getting WWE.
ESPN's getting WWE, yes.
TKO is just basically an octopus just putting their tentacles on any on any streaming app just to get their product out there. Because it seems like every app has some part of TKO. Netflix has WWE. ESPN now is WWE. Now you're telling me Paramount's getting UFC. Yeah, that's Lever. I think you're right. It's gonna be pretty much heading to
how the zone was. There's no way you can say.
Well, here's the thing, though. I know what you guys are mentioning with DAZN, but DAZN is going away from that too. Like they're taking that away. That's been a huge failure for DAZN. Like I think one of
because they duped you.
They duped, yeah, but that was, we're talking like 10 years ago that they duped you. Like, and they're still, like, they butchered that so bad, and the money they gave so bad. Like, they had to pay Canelo like $30 million. There's no UFC fighter who's going to get paid that much money. Like, the UFC fighters' payments are already down. So, like, I get what you guys are saying, but it's not necessarily the same thing. And I think that the one thing the UFC knows is everyone's stealing these fights. I'm serious. And Dana White's come out there, and he's put up the brave face, like, oh, we're going to take away piracy. He's never done it. It's never been easier to steal a pay-per-view. And I think what they're doing is, like, let's just remove this headache and let's just put it on streaming. And they'll probably put some on CBS, too. I think, you know, with college football, with NFL, there'll be years where they can do some crossover promotion on that that'll make fights even bigger. So, yeah, I don't think so, man. I think this is, like, they're getting over $1 billion a year.
Okay, but I'm just saying, oh, my boy, Tobes, just that same enthusiasm you had a few years ago with your $5 a month.
It was $10, and then they doubled it in 2 months, and I was like, you guys are crooks.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So Paramount, here's why I say this. Paramount paid UFC $1 billion a year.
Over $1 billion, yep.
Over $1 billion for all of their, you know, stuff. The UFC is getting paid. But if Paramount's not recouping that money, then they're going to have an additional wall and charge for these fights.
Yeah,
because
but I would.
They got to recoup their money.
Yeah, but you.
They're going to recoup, Leroy.
I would say, here's the thing. They want everybody to go to Paramount Plus to, like, subscribe to all their shows and all that stuff that they have there. Like, that's going to be things that are going to drive everybody who's going to buy those. They're going to have every pay-per-view that year. Don't forget, they also have the NFL that streams there as well.
And that's the key, right?
You know, so, like, I get what you're saying. I just don't see, like, it's not the same startup as DAZN. They own CBS, for God's sakes.
Like, put it this
no,
way.
No, I know.
It's not like an upstart company like DAZN that was like, we're going to change the wheel.
You know what, Leroy? He's right. Because think about it. Once CBS has the Super Bowl, they can put a Super Bowl weekend and have a UFC fight at the location of, like, where the Super Bowl is in, you know, an arena. So, say Super Bowl's down here. They can have a UFC event at Kaseya Center the night before the Super Bowl, and that would be a big ratings getter because people are going to be all focused on, you know, on the product, what all the big happening. So,
Albie says Tobin would pay pay per view money to watch a Jovich International game. Already did this weekend. for some Serbian guy calling them versus Greece.
Can I just say this? So he's watching a game in the middle of nowhere that he probably paid to watch. Yet he comments like we all have it on ABC or ESPN.
You guys aren't watching courtside TV?
No. And that's the funny part. You're commenting on the game, and I'm like, who's watching this?
I watched Norman Powell versus Costa Rica this weekend. Dropped 34. We'll take a break here on the show, get more into the Dolphins and their preseason opener, an eventful weekend. Back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you rascals up until 2. We are streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. 104.3 WQAM is the handle on YouTube. Miami 104.3 WQAM is the handle on Twitch, so go subscribe there. You guys can get us on the Odyssey app. And it is good to be in week 2 on that crystal clear FM dial. Shout out to everybody who is listening to us, all our new listeners on the FM dial. As the Miami Dolphins yesterday played to a 24-24 tie to the Chicago Bears. Nobody wanted to win that game.
Right?
Yeah, nobody wanted to win that game at the end of the game. It was.
I love it.
They almost had like a I thought Ollie Gordon was going to the house. I was like, oh! The angle on the TV. And then like, no, he like threw it. I'm like, oh no, that's not going anywhere.
There were more ties this week in preseason games than you'll probably see all NFL season.
How many were there? Well, I know
they don't even go into overtime, right?
Right.
No, they didn't go to overtime. No. Ridiculous. Who needs that?
Seahawks and Raiders, Dolphins and Bears. Those are the first two. But I was like, damn, there's a lot of ties. I understand it. You don't want to risk any more injuries.
Yep.
It's not even that. It's preseason. What's the point?
Who cares?
Unless you're the Baltimore Ravens.
I saw somebody complaining about like
made a 70-yarder.
So the Jacksonville kicker.
Cameron Little, maybe? I think it's Cam Little.
Oh, my goodness. Remember when Janikowski tried that and we all laughed?
Yep.
Hey, man. He almost hit it.
Kickers have gone like the way of any athlete, of accuracy and distance. These kickers have perfected it.
Right. Like a 50-yard field goal is nothing.
It's absolutely nothing. We were ripping Jason Sanders before. Now Jason Sanders only hits his 50-yarders now.
Rightfully so. That's the gig.
It's crazy. If you start missing that 50, 70 you're done.
Yards, that means you kick the field goal from your own 40.
It's crazy.
If they call a free kick and misses it, he could, or it's time left on the clock, they could turn around and kick a 58-yarder.
Everyone's, I feel like this is the new mark for everybody. Everyone's going to be starting to think about this. But yeah, that was definitely a very impressive feat in the Jacksonville Steelers preseason game. Cam Little hits a 70-yarder at the end of the half.
Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Because, like, dude, come on. They're like, not for nothing, but y'all have heard it. Y'all have heard it out there. This Pittsburgh thing is going to be a debacle.
Why you say that?
Huh?
Why you say that?
Because Aaron Rodgers looks old.
Did he play?
Did he play? I don't think he played.
I don't think he played.
He didn't play. No, I'm just saying, this is during camp.
Oh, you're talking about the video clip of him looking slow?
Yeah. And keep in mind, you have a receiver in Metcalf who is not known for separation, right? So it becomes, you got to be even more accurate or throw him open so he can go get it a little more.
Aaron could do that.
Okay.
He's got Janu.
If he has time.
Aaron could do that. He used to be able to do that.
Look at this guy feeling all froggy just because Shedeur Sanders had a good preseason game. Now all of a sudden the Browns are going to finish ahead of the Steelers.
Guess what? No. You know why I don't even have to listen to that?
Why?
Here's why.
Why?
Because I told you when he got drafted, being drafted in the lower rounds is just a starting point. It is no indication of whether you can play or not. And there's evidence of that at that
That's position. Not what I'm talking about, though. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying you're feeling very froggy all of a sudden that you got a quarterback because you had like this mishmash unit of Flaccos and dwarf soft southpaws and Kenny Pickett with his baby hands and then Shedeur Sanders with all his with all the off-field noise that comes with that. And all of a sudden now those guys all got hurt. He had an awesome first half. And you're like, you're feeling froggy.
I'm a say this if you would have brought somebody to my attention. All this does is make you raise an eyebrow and need to see more. It's not an indication of anything yet. It's not. But what I am impressed with, I'm impressed with his ability through all that, right? Through all the kind of negative comments, him entering the league, to be out there, to go out there and just play football. Like, it's hard sometimes when you hear that chatter to not let it affect how you do things. I want to show people. I want to do this. He just went out there and played the game. So that was the impressive part of it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he can handle the noise. I mean, the guy's handled the noise basically since he's, first of all, his father's Deion Sanders. And second of all, like, remember, they are already a point where people were like, they're taking over college football. There was a one point where like talking about their start to the season and everybody's like, whoa, this is insane. His teammate was the Heisman winner. Like, I'm not surprised that he can handle the noise like that. I think the only question was he ever going to get a chance? Cause you didn't really know like who made the pick. And I still don't know who made the pick because that owner sticks his beak into everything. And by the way, if you tell me that I'm going to go with his quote of the GM made the pick, save it. I don't believe it.
Right. Here's what I would also say. Once you see a guy that has the ability to play, it's your job to put the best talent on the field and not get into your feels because you didn't pick him, which is hard for a lot of people to do.
Sure. But it is, I think it is, it's easier if you know it makes the boss happy if he did make that pick and it looks good, which right now it does.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people look stupid because everybody had this chance to pass him. Like, even if you're a Dolphins fan and you're looking at Shedeur and you're like, man, we could have had him when? And, you're sitting here and you're watching Quinn Ewers yak all over himself. Everybody who needs a quarterback is gonna have to deal with that.
But it also, is it possible that he got in the right system too?
He's been in the system for 3 minutes.
No, but I'm just saying with, like, sometimes it's very easy to transition into a new offense when it fits a lot of the things you did at the previous level.
Maybe. And, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, maybe. I just think that it's a little hard. Here's what I would say. It's hard for me to go system if everybody's saying he got very limited reps in training camp, didn't get a lot of action.
And he just balled out.
So I can't really say. Yeah, I know Stefanski's got a good reputation for quarterbacks. People think very highly of his ability to run an offense. But he wasn't getting any run. So
wait, does that give him, like, for me, him being prepared has nothing to do with his reps. But mentally, he got prepared. Does this add to it, to what you think of him? Because it kind of does when before the game, everybody's like, oh, they're putting him in a bad spot because he didn't get any run.
Oh, yeah. People were.
And he's going to be out there.
Yeah, people said they were setting him up to fail, you know?
Right. And the fact that he didn't, do you think differently of him?
Well, I was just very miffed by it. Like, I thought the whole idea that he dropped that far was crazy. Like, I'm sorry, you don't get labeled, whatever you want to say about prospecting and all that, you don't get labeled the number two quarterback in a draft for the entire process of it and a guy drops to the fifth round. Like, that's just lunacy. Nobody can say that's normal. I don't care what you want to put on it. Yes, I'm sure that he had some very bad interviews where maybe he was a little bit too cocky or whatever, but this is a talent league. Guys have gotten into hit and runs and very nefarious things and still have gotten selected. something was amiss here. And so for him to go out there and to look like a talented quarterback, where for the entire draft process everybody said, yeah, he ain't Cam Ward, but he's a talented quarterback. It's weird. Dylan Gabriel getting taken above him, dude. Come on. Even on the same team. Like, right. What are we talking about? That was weird.
Yeah. But again, he took advantage of the opportunity that he got, which nobody ever thought he would get this quick. And now he's forcing his team. Now they got to make some decisions because they got to figure out, hey, is this the real deal? So now I would expect them to kind of push the envelope on him a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
See what he can and can't take, because that's your job.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I will say Deshaun Watson looked on that bench, which good for him for still showing up, you know, for moral support.
Hey, man. If you got 230 moral support,
he makes twice as much as all the other quarterbacks added together.
230 guaranteed, baby. I'll sit on that bench.
Hey, smiling with a handful of sunflower seeds.
He wasn't that smiley.
Because he's in a position right now, he can't smile. But he got to act like, you know, a certain way.
They said he's progressing in his rehab, and he's trying to make a effort to come back this season, correct?
Hold on. Let's be clear. Okay? You got five chances to get a quarterback on your team. If he's trying to make a comeback for week 10 or 11, all right? Whoever is the quarterback ain't giving up that job.
Kermit, and didn't he re-tear his Achilles because he messed up his rehab?
Yep.
Yeah. Oof. Take a break. We'll get back into the Dolphins on this. I thought some of the rookies
By the way, speaking of Achilles, guess who tore their Achilles this weekend?
Mariano Rivera in an old-timers game. He had the Curtis Granderson. He was playing outfield.
Exit Sandman.
No bad words. No disrespect to Mariano.
I got no disrespect for him.
That's going to be the one thing you don't want, Vlad, in an old-timer. He's like, just please, no critical injuries.
I pulled the hammy throwing a water balloon or an egg. So just imagine he out there chasing balls in the outfield. I mean, how much outfield you think he played in the last 10 years?
Oh, my God. I mean.
He was playing the outfield.
Crazy.
That was always his dream.
Well,
not no more.
Turned into a nightmare.
Dream ended.
We'll take a break. Get back into the Dolphins. Some of the rookies did ball out yesterday. We'll talk about that next. All right, welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560, 104.3. It's preseason for me too, everybody. We're trying to fix some things in here. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy, FM 104.3, WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Want to let you guys know, got some tickets. If you guys want to win some tickets, got a text contest for you. Adam Sandler is coming to the Kaseya Center on September 7th, and we've got your chance to win tickets. Just text the word Adam to 20357. ADAM. Adam to 20357. For more info, go to WQAM.com. It's a text contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Tickets also available to purchase at KaseyaCenter.com. Miami Dolphins. I'll tell you who I liked yesterday, Leroy. That Kenny G's a behemoth.
After watching him play and then watching Mason play, I think Kenneth might have a bigger impact than Mason sooner.
Dude, he was like, I mean, like he was like
just, he just
ragdolling
more pool. Explosive.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Like, yeah, I was very impressed. I thought like the way that he can move, like there was at one point he had to like chase down a guy in space, and then like he's moving a guy and has to go to the other side of the line. I was like, geez, this guy seems like a monster. For his first game, I was very impressed.
Yeah.
Very
that first game, I'm gonna tell you what. I don't care what the game means to everybody else. But when you go game time for your first NFL preseason game, it's exciting. You are fired up like you playing a real game because you ain't never put that uniform on in that capacity. So while people are saying it's just preseason, there's a lot of young guys that trying to go out there and show out because they ain't never put that uniform on before. So kudos to him. Now, as they'll say with all rookies, they'll have that meeting the day after the game. What makes you an NFL player is the fact that you can play this way every week and not just one week.
Kentucky Finn says, Kenny G's celebration better be him playing the sax. He's going to be a star. So we're going to have him playing the sax, and we're going to have Chop Robinson with the axe. The sax and the axe.
Sax and axe?
I like it, dude. That did you see the one play, though? I think it ended in a completion, but I saw Zeke Biggers just completely run over a running back who was trying to block him. And
yes,
I was like, oh, that poor running back.
Hey, dude, just imagine getting in a good football position. And I would say for you, you would be Alex Engel. So
thank you. it was a big day for me. Hey, listen.
Vlad, you would be closer to Eric Metcalf.
The Intangibles had themselves a day yesterday. Ethan Bonner, he set up that interception.
Just imagine, and then having a guy who run a 4-4, 4-5,
and 290
bearing at you, and your coach says, use your hips. Right?
It's a leverage game. It's a leverage game.
It's also a physics game, coach.
Oh, my God.
So, but, and that's one of the things that, you know, you don't have to do it a lot. But when your number is called to do those things, it will get you in the game quicker than other running backs if you can go up and just stop them.
I don't understand how you're able to do that. It's so big.
Well, you know how I started doing it? Well, what happened to me was early in my career, like my first year, I had to block. It was brutal. You get your helmet twisted, chiclets loose, you know, but you wanted to be in the game. As you start running passes and catching balls out of the backfield, which I ended up doing a lot of, then what happens is instead of that guy blitzing, he runs at you, but he's guarding you. So they call that green dog. So
that was
green dog is if the back blocks you rush.
Well, he definitely got blown up. That was something.
Yeah,
that was something. Savai Naya, what do you think of the? I saw him clear out on a touchdown run.
They played
him a lot.
I saw some good things. They're having some issues working together. So when you see those free rushers, right, you should never, under no circumstance in football, should you ever have a free rusher in the middle of the field. So start there. If you have a free rusher up the middle of the field that a back is not going to get or the offensive line is not sliding down and letting the outside guy go, then it's a communication problem. It's one of those things you got to get used to working with one another to make those calls. But if you ever have a pass rusher up the middle of the field that don't come from 10 yards deep like they do the safety blitz, then there's an issue there with the communication of the offensive line. And that's the part, I've always said this, that's the part that's the hardest to get accustomed to, is working with the guys next to you, knowing when you can just give a little head nod, I'm going,
right,
or make those communications so that you don't have these situations.
I mean, look, the starting line definitely looked better than the backups because, I mean,
yeah.
Even though, I mean, Zach Wilson, I don't know what he's doing sometimes in that pocket. Like,
well, that's what the Jets say.
Broncos too.
I was like, wait a minute.
And that's a perfect example.
Why did he spin move into a pass rusher?
Because it's a naked spin. You don't know what's behind there. You alluding one guy. You nothing don't know good. That one guy coming to hit you in the face.
I don't think you alluded anybody. I think he just did it into nobody. I was like, what are you, Sonic the Hedgehog?
Hey, can I just say, I've been concussed many a times shaking one guy without realizing he had backup.
You can
shake him and boom. It happens.
It's one of those things with him because it's like you can you definitely saw like his two good throws. It's like, oh man, piss whistle. But then it's like, oof, he missed that tight end wide ass open. But
there's a perfect example how NFL GMs fall for the other stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like, ooh, look at his size, look at his arm strength. He can make all the throws. Okay, yeah, I can make all the throws too. If we got my college kids running the routes, what about that pass rush?
In fairness, it was COVID year. Nobody was playing college football, so nobody really got to see the snaps. They were all going by talent.
I feel like he just had that one throw at a workout.
They were going looking the part, looking the part. That was looking the part draft.
Because if you look at all the quarterbacks in that draft, they all have not been as successful as other quarterbacks in other classes.
That was what? That was Lawrence Wilson, Mac Jones?
Justin Fields.
Is that Trey Lance too?
Trey Lance.
Oof.
So Trey Lance is the only one, right?
Trey Lance is not good.
Lawrence,
the only guy who got a second contract.
He got the highest contract. But if you look at it, Justin Fields trying to, recapture something.
Fields was the next draft, wasn't he?
No, Fields was that draft.
He was?
Yeah. Bears drafted him.
I thought he was drafted higher than that.
Bears drafted him later in that draft. He was the same draft as Zach. That's why Jets fans laughed that we got the quarterback that we really should have gotten now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, I don't feel great about the backup quarterback situation. I'm not.
I mean, I think it's fine, right? Like, you have enough guys that you can, for everybody to talk about Quinn Ewers. Let's be clear.
Let's pump them brakes.
He ain't ready.
No, pump the brakes.
Yeah, do you understand these people that are saying he had a better game than Zach Wilson?
Zach didn't
play well, but Quinn was the worst quarterback on the field yesterday. 5-for-18 is not good for
him. No, he had a bad game. I don't understand. I understand. Look, I get it. But he's playing with the scrubs, but he's playing against scrubs too. Like
here's the deal with him. When you take somebody that size, so he's not a big dude, right?
It's like 6'2".
Yeah, but he is a little, you know.
A frumpy 6'2"?
He's thin. I would say this. There's when I ask you this question, this will be the things that separates a Zach Wilson from a Quinn Ewers, okay? Give me one skill that he possesses that's transferable from the college level.
Who, Ewers or Zach?
Ewers. Because I can give you two or three with Zach Wilson.
I've seen
30, that mean he's going to be able to play.
But you've seen 35 starts with Zach Wilson, 33 to 35 starts. You've had seen it might have not been great, but there have been some success. You know, you've
at
seen
level,
some
yeah.
semblance of success. You've seen if he was coach right. You could. There are games you see him, you're like, if he is coach right, if he just progresses along, you can make something out of him. There's a reason why somebody was drafted in the seventh round, bro. There's a reason why you're drafted in the seventh round.
But that's what I'm saying. So if he's going to play the way he plays, he has to be super, super, super accurate. He's not.
No, not 5-for-18.
Right. And so that's where, you know, I'm not saying that he can't get there, but he ain't there yet.
Yeah, because I got people who are like, well, the receivers left now. I got to be honest. I thought probably what I came away from that game with the most yesterday.
Taj Washington.
Hey, he was great.
The Washington brothers?
Lincoln Riley maybe didn't lie to me.
Taj and Malik?
But, I thought the receiver, I was like, there's a lot of receivers making plays. You know, I mean, Ezukama made his typical catch over the middle. You know, he's and he had a great return.
He's the greatest preseason player I've ever seen in my life, bro.
Skylar Thompson would like a word because he just put up another 200 plus.
Oh, really?
Hey,
for who? For Pittsburgh?
For Pittsburgh.
Hey, oh my God. Dude, Skyler should get this right here. The award for Hall of Fame preseason player with no intent of playing in the regular season goes to Skyler Thompson. This is his third consecutive award. And he is the first in NFL history to do it with three different teams. Right?
That's hysterical.
Hey,
he's not. So,
it's incredible.
Hey, unfortunately, he's not here to pick up his award.
Every time you turn on the TV and Skyler Thompson is playing, we go, "Ooh, they ain't gonna put him on the practice squad." Yeah.
I was seeing the score of the game. I'm like, "Yo, is Aaron playing?" And it was like, "No, Aaron's not playing." I'm like, "Who's putting up these numbers? Mason Rudolph?"
Nah, preseason Montana.
Skyler Thompson.
Yeah, that's it.
He's amazing. No, but I thought the receivers looked good. I thought, yeah, the Washington brothers looked good. Malik had those big time catches on that first drive. Taj Washington got a little movement to him, dude. I mean, he does.
I like the fact that when you go through all the different waves of wide receivers, they all have something in common with your starters. So if you ever have to replace one, you're not replacing them with a different style of receiver. I'm going to tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the little toss reverse, whatever, I almost turned off the TV and went outside and just sat in my backyard and watched iguanas.
He's got to – listen, McDaniel has to get a couple tricks out of his system. He has to.
And he can't stop. Like, oh, and you could see it coming. The guy's coming around the back, the out. I'm like, can you fake it? Fake it one time. And it's always got to be a little cutesy. A
little flip-de-do.
Yeah, a little flip, underarm. I'm like.
They're like, to his hands. He's so good. I'm like, great. He's not turning two. Can he just get the ball to the guy?
That's what it looks like. They're turning two in the backfield. Look, I do like the fact that he acknowledged, like, what's going to get it done in the red zone. He said he's going to keep sticking with it. He's going to make a conscious effort. But if there's one negative thing that I can take away from yesterday's game, it is this. Being physical has to do with I'm lining up a yard from you. You line up a yard from me. We got 2 yards to go. You know where it's going. I know where it's going. Let's compete.
And maybe this is just me. I'm no football guru. Maybe give the giant running back a chance in those situations.
Here's the problem, though.
They did give it to Jalen Wright, didn't they?
Let's be clear. Sometimes the big guys aren't quick enough to maneuver in those tight spaces. And we just think as a big guy, we can just pound our way in there. But when you watch Derrick Henry, people really underestimate his kind of shiftiness.
Yeah, but there's also, you would not, like, there are running backs that are just better playing in contact too, isn't there? Like, you know.
Yeah, like even, I would say even Achane was really good at kind of running through arm tackles and stuff like that. So they had some opportunities. But again, when you get in a crunch time in the NFL, it's all going to be based on the same areas. 4-minute drill, running out the clock, and running the ball inside the 10.
We'll take a break here on FM 104.3 WQAM, Tobin and Leroy. Take a break. Our Tua is next.